TTF 256 TTF 256 TTF 256 TTF 256. Throw the flag podcast on 256today.com. Matt Hankins, how's it going, my friend?
Oh, it's going super well, dude. I mean, everything's great. Off season, what? Got stories.
you just came back from a trip to our nation's capital to see a band named Gang of Horses.
Band of youths.
Band of Horses.
That is a band. That is a band. Man, I love their second record. Woo! I'm in love Band of Horses' second record. Did not like any of the other ones.
How was Gang of Youths? And,
Gang of Youths.
The anthem?
Oh, I don't know. Union Stage?
Oh, yeah.
In something called The Wharf that I didn't know existed?
Yeah, they realized I was leaving in 2016 and decided to build it.
They built it and they came. Buddy, I'm here to tell you. The people were there. No, it was really good. That band is an Australian outfit, and I'm a giant Tragically Hip fan, and I equate the two things together. They are a band that are massive in their home country, but 700 people show up to see them here in the States, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful for me. I hate it for them. I wish they were making more money, but they seem to be enjoying themselves. They put on a very good show. I like it because the lead singer is a fan of one of the rivals of my soccer team, so I can just yell stuff at him to upset him during the show. It's a fun time for everybody.
Chelsea fan?
Everton, even closer to home.
Like, oh my gosh.
Share the Liverpool and Everton's parks are a mile apart.
I just like that you trusted me to talk about soccer for 10 seconds.
I didn't talk about soccer. I talked about a guy who likes soccer. You're never going to get me caught up in that because, boy, do I have some wild soccer stuff to talk about, but not for you. You don't get to hear my passion.
And if anybody saw my Instagram story from 2 weeks ago while I was in D.C., I definitely got to be a Liverpool.
Jinx. This jinx got to jinx.
You guys tied it. You didn't even lose. You
were still in.
You didn't need a win. You were in first place.
Nope, you almost got me. You almost got me.
The tie got you.
Jinxing son of a bitch.
And just real quick before we get to actual football that people care about.
You see why I don't trust them with my feelings, folks? You see why I don't trust them? I get on this microphone and I talk about every sport with respect and love. These assholes can't give me. They can't give me the time of day.
I didn't say a thing negative about soccer.
Crumb bums.
Crumb bums. We ask you all the time. And just once for our listeners before we move on, what would it sound like if an Australian saw something they did not like?
Oh, no, I don't like what I'm seeing here. That wallaby's got a kangaroo's tail right in his mouth.
That is.
Oh, no.
I just love that Australian accent, that authentic Australian accent.
Chunk it in me dumper.
I would love to find out that Governor was actually an Australian original. It's, you know, Matt, you mentioned this from nanosecond one. We are in the dregs of a college football desert. You know, we both proclaim to be baseball fans. You're a soccer fan, so you have something. But, you know, it is tough because, you know, we were on the bullpen on the ump with Tony Mack last Friday, and the conversation steered toward the NBA playoffs. You actually knew names and things. A guy named Giannis A.
That sounds like a fun supermodel.
And Giannis A. And was bleeding for some reason.
Giannis A is the new Chanteuse.
Oh my god, I found that MP3. We gotta put that up. It's just a midweek snack to get people through. And you know, like I joked on the air that I can't believe Doc Rivers is still playing basketball. I said that to cover up for the fact that I did not know Doc Rivers was a fucking coach. I know Steve Kerr is.
Doc Rivers on his third team now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. like, no surprise.
World champion, Doc Rivers.
Who did he win with? Also,
the Celtics. He was the coach of the big three.
He was the coach in the Anything Is Possible, Kevin Garnett?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are you trying to get us two Frenchie ballers?
I am always trying to get us to Frenchie ballers.
Can you give us a Frenchie ballers update? Because you,
I can. Obviously, a lot going on in the NFT crypto community.
Do you have like a 10-second like elevator pitch of what a Frenchie baller is?
A Frenchie baller is an NFT group that just hits different. Mm-hmm. It is. Shit, I forgot his name. Dadgummit, I forgot
Professor
his name.
Professor Blockchain.
Not Professor Blockchain, the artist whose name I cannot remember right now. Slim somebody. But, yeah, it's an NFT featuring a cool French bulldog who, you know, he gets into mischief. Today I saw him. He was the Bud Heavy baller, and he was wearing, like, a NASCAR hat and drinking good beer. He's having a great time.
These Frenchie ballers are really something. Anyway, please thank you for providing that overview for listeners.
Yes. What the hell was I talking about?
NFT? I asked you for any Frenchie baller overall updates.
But they've got a cool Bud Heavy Frenchie baller out right now that you can vote on, and, you know, I think a lucky voter's going to open up some spots on the baller list, so hey, get to it.
I don't even understand any of that. You know, FrenchieBallers.com is a pretty comprehensive website here.
It's really good. There's a business plan. There's a history.
Good for them.
It's animated.
Okay, we've got Kendrick Perkins here as a visionary.
Well, he's an ambassador.
Timbo Slim is the creative director.
Timbo Slim. That's who it is.
Oh, they
Timbo
even have,
Slim.
They even have height and weight. Because
T.O. got traded to the Knights of DGN.
Man, Kenny Keyes, community assistant, 6'6". Terrence Tiny Smith, the sixth man, is 7 foot tall.
There you go. Classic Tiny.
Wow. Classic Tiny. And
Birmingham Stallion, still undefeated.
Oh, won some sweet cash on that one. So when I was in D.C., stopped to the MGM casino. I put 20 each on the Stallions and another game where there was a huge discrepancy between the team's points allowed and scored totals. So I just bet whoever, you know,
bet
that
the farm on the Houston Gamblers.
Won both of those. Let it ride on the Stallions this week to cover 6.5. They ended up winning by 13. They were down 17-7 at one point.
That's why they like to get you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's been every game this season. That just
Cardiac Colts. They come back on you.
And, you know, they were up by 7, and then I believe got sacked 3 times in a row and were pinned down on their own 2, roughing the punter penalty on the very next play, got the ball back, marched down the field, scored 6, didn't hit the extra points, 1-13. I'm up 160 total on the Stallions.
They should have flipped the field. Why didn't they just use their power play?
This is not.
Oh, my bad. I get my spring football leagues confused.
It's so funny because one is trying so hard to be the NFL.
Normal. Guys, this is football the way you remember it. The USFL.
In fact, like,
none of this crazy stuff.
The fact the USFL has like a 35.
How they do have a legal 2 forward passes, though. I learned that this weekend.
Yeah, and 35 seconds on the play clock, so that...
If you throw it behind the line of scrimmage, any direction, as long as it's behind the line of scrimmage, you can throw it again.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I'm not going to lie. So we got the Frenchie Ballers. Check it out, honestly, because not that we're promoting anything yet, because we definitely have not yet reached out to partner with Frenchie Ballers, although that is
Frenchie
coming.
Ballers XTTF is coming. It's coming. It's going to happen. And look, one of these NFTs is going to work. One of them is.
Dude, the USFL has NFTs.
Exactly.
They talk about that during the game. The fan control football is not that out of
it's not nearly it, once strategy. You watch it a time or two, like, this is not nearly as crazy as I thought it was.
It's not,
one of these things is gonna hit.
It's not out
why
of
why not Frenchie Ballers?
Because Shaquem Griffin, that's why. Can't believe he's already at the league. But yeah, USFL but not just Frenchie Ballers, but fan-controlled football. Sorry for that. Fan-controlled football is pretty fun.
It's a fun time. Like, I just enjoy it. I'm having fun. I like to, because, you know, a lot of the sports I watch, like, everybody talks about baseball, hockey especially. Honestly, everything but the NFL and probably basketball are considered regional sports, which means people just watch their team.
Yeah,
that's really what they're saying, because with the advent of the abilities to watch things out of market and all that stuff,
yeah,
region's sort of a misnomer.
Like, imagine being a Pac-12 team and being way into, like, the hunt for a conference championship and have to hear about the SEC or a random Big Ten or Big 12 team or ACC team every week.
Every week. Every single week. So most people have, you know, it is the echo chamber that we live in. The internet sort of changed our brains. But at any rate, we pay attention to our teams, which means sports is not fun.
No.
Necessarily.
It's not.
Unless your team is whomping the shit out of somebody, it is stressful. I spent a bottomless brunch with a certain game from a different country up on my phone, and it was a very close, tight game, and I'm enjoying the brunch, but I'm getting beat up because my other football team is having some troubles, and then I'm walking down the street when we're in penalties, and I'm losing my mind like a crazy maniac on the streets of Washington, D.C., where I might add now, it just always smells like weed, 100% of the time.
Good.
And the size of the joints that the D.C. people smoke is comical. It is comical.
D.C. weed is, it's really something.
Apparently they sell it more by volume than any other place on earth. Because I saw joints not being passed around, just whole joints owned by people that were massive.
Yeah, yeah. And I think just because the fact that, like, the city's been so gentrified just every single decade, I mean, take your pick in any year, it is legal to possess it.
Mm-hmm.
It's legal to be high in public,
mm-hmm.
In the same vein that you can be inebriated on alcohol to an extent. You just can't be, like, in the act of smoking it in front of a police officer.
Yeah.
So, like, that, the action of just, like, holding a joint is a, like, it's a personal statement if you're a D.C. native.
It is. And they are making it.
And by D.C. constantly. Native, I mean an actual native, not somebody who lived there for, you know, 8 years and then moved back. Where did you go for brunch? Sorry.
Tico?
Never been. Tico. Never been. I hear good things.
It was very good. I was very pleased with my bottomless brunch experience.
That's great.
I didn't know what was happening. Luckily, I had two familiars, and I just let them tell me what to do.
So, as you were kind of talking, you know,
it's not fun to watch your team.
So, if you're watching fan control football, where you really don't have a dog in the fight, except for the team that you're forced to sign up for when you download the app. That makes it better. Like, I was, you know, I saw the text from our friend Gavin, or maybe Creole, formerly of the show, who said, you know, oh man, T.O. just got traded. Fucking fire up the hype train, man.
Let's get that hype train rolling. We got a draft on Wednesday.
T.O. got traded. Their weekly drafts. It's just fun.
It's crazy. And I enjoy it. The game is digestible.
Yeah.
It's like an hour long.
That's it, man.
It's fun. It's fun. I don't have to worry about anything. It's just silly football. And that's okay. And I'm not saying, oh, football should be. No. Not arguing for that at all. I'm saying, I like a respite.
Yes.
I do want to sweat bullets for 14 weeks in the fall. Absolutely. Looking forward to sweating those bullets. But this is fun to not sweat those bullets.
This is a legitimate question. I'm not fishing.
Trying to get me.
Pronounce it respite instead of respite.
I vacillate.
Okay.
Betwixt the two.
What about R-E-P-R-I-S-E when talking about, like, an alternate version of a song?
That's a reprise.
Okay. Thank you. God, I hear reprise and I lose my
mind. A reprise is something you give to a convict.
I think there's a reprise of some Smashing Pumpkins song.
Tonight.
Yeah. And whenever I hear that word, I always think of that. But, you know, that's probably an episode.
I just got a text from my eldest child saying, hey, can we all go see Smashing Pumpkins? One of the openers I really like. And I'm like, Jane's Addiction? Surely that's not the opener you're talking about.
By the way, Beck, Smashing Pumpkins, and the San Francisco 49ers are coming to Atlanta this fall. They're
well, the Pumpkins ain't coming to Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to tell you that.
Wait, they're
Pumpkins
not?
Pumpkins are coming to Gwinnett.
To be
specific.
Got it. Yeah. So I might be, you know, I'm really going to be tested. I mean, I never make good on my my promises.
Never once. I'll never see him. I'll go to all three of those things, y'all.
He won't be at any of them. Yeah. It'll be great. You'll have a great time.
I'm going to have a time. I'm going to have a wonderful time. Oh, delay. Play loser.
I'm glad you followed up because Odelay is not a song. Desert of College Football.
All right, I got a graphic in front of me.
Let's make it silly. Let's, you know,
So from the show that brought you Chaos Allowed,
please.
The show now will bring you, coming from Fox College Football. This is an official. This is a big time site. Your 2022 transfer team rankings.
Oh, I'm way all into right. this. I am way right. into this.
Shoot, I'll, like, right off the cuff, Shawnee. There's 10 of these. Guess 5 of them. Sight unseen. What 5 teams do you think are on there?
Okay, so I'm going to say Alabama's number 1 just because we've gotten, like, the number 2 tackle, number 1 wide receiver, number 1 cornerback, and a couple others. Alabama, you know, probably Ohio State, probably USC cleaned up, Texas A&M. And I'll just say Clemson as a 5th.
You went 50%. Alabama and USC are on the list.
Okay. Really? Those other 3 are not.
They are not on the list. All right. Number 10. Coming out right with, I don't understand any of this. So, average player ranking according to 247 Sports.
Yeah, so let's actually clarify. So, I'm assuming that this is the top 10 teams that have made it out best from the transfer portal in the offseason.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, based on 247 Sports.
Sure.
Minimum is 5 commitments. I want you to remember that. The minimum here is 5.
That's a lot. That seems high.
Well, that's what I thought, yeah. And then I saw the list.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the team at number 10, I want you to, they have a number here. I don't think that matters. That's not fun. That, whatever.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me how many commitments you think they got from the transfer portal.
Okay.
Number 10, Washington State.
and the minimum is 5.
Minimum is 5.
I'm going to say 6.
They got 7.
Okay.
All right. Number 9, the UCLA Bruins.
God damn it. I am so tired of every year. I guarantee you, Kirk fucking Herbstreit will bring this up when he said, you know, I really think Chip Kelly has it figured out this year.
They're working at the, hey, Chip Kelly knows how to work the transfer portal. This guy's professional.
I guarantee
Big city, Los Angeles, guys. I mean, they're bringing him in.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say 7. Same.
12. Number 8.
And this is, so wait, hold on. So this is not like, it's possible for like the number 8 to have 10 transfers.
Absolutely.
But just higher quality.
This is based on a score.
Okay.
The score for Washington State was 88.25. So based on the rankings that 247 Sports has.
Got it.
That's for the ranking.
Okay.
Number eight, former national champions, the University of Central Florida.
Oh my God.
Golden Knights.
How are they this is insane. I'm going to say 10.
11.
Okay.
So what I'm seeing at the bottom of the list is kids like to go where they think they can play.
Yeah, of course.
Or where it's sunny. That's what I'm seeing. I don't know why the hell they're at Wazoo. I do not know why they're going to Wazoo. I don't know who the coach of Wazoo is. I have not thought of Washington State since Mike Leach left.
I was about to say, like, if you were to tell me it was just Mike Price again, I would believe you.
Or Mike Riley. Or any of the Mikes. Any of the Mikes that were always mentioned for the Alabama job could be at Wazoo right now.
Even Chip Kelly's kind of a Mike. It's just that West Coast.
Yeah, yeah. Number seven, Michigan State.
Sports. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Probably like closer.
Blackmail Tucker.
Yeah, probably closer to 15. I bet Tucker picked up a good bit.
10. Blackmail Tucker got 10 of them in.
Okay. Must be pretty high quality if he's at number seven.
Number seven with an 89.
Okay.
So a few points higher than UCF. 89. Number six, South Carolina Gamecocks.
Oh, yeah. They got Spencer Rattler, so... Oh, gosh. But he's so good that I bet it's probably 10 or 9.
9.
Yeah.
Dead on. Number 5. Woo Pig Suey, Arkansas Razorbacks.
Wow. I am completely out of the loop on that. I'm just going to say I'm going to guess 10.
8? Now.
What are the quality of the players that are coming into fucking Fayetteville and or Little Rock?
Well, Shawnee, I'm glad you brought that up.
They got 8 and they're number 6?
Number 5.
Number 5?
At number 4, USC Trojans.
That's insane. What's his name has pulled like every... That's crazy. Wow. Trojans, I'm gonna go super high. Even I'm gonna say 17.
15.
Okay.
15.
Let's really take a moment there.
15 apparent bums have followed Lincoln Riley and they got the hotshot quarterback from Oklahoma, right? Like Caleb
something or other.
Yeah.
But also South Carolina got the hotshot quarterback from Oklahoma.
Yeah, right. Like, but they got 15 commitments, but that ranks out just 0.5 points above Arkansas's 8.
I think wow, that's crazy.
So bums. They just stockpiled the cupboard with bums.
Yeah, they pulled Shane Lee, I think from Bama. And if you transfer as a junior or a senior from Bama as a linebacker to somewhere else, considering the pedigree,
you hate money.
Like you either hate money because you can be a second on the depth chart and still make a lot of fucking money.
If you're second on the depth chart at Alabama at linebacker, guess what, bud? You're first on the depth chart because whoever's in front of you guaranteed to get hurt.
Just ask Dylan Moses.
Still or waiting on Christian Miller to get help.
Reuben Foster.
There's three. Every one of them got hurt. Toho, you're on the clock, pal.
Oh, gosh.
Your Achilles is on the clock. Number 3, Ole Miss Rebels.
Really?
About a half a point higher than USC.
Oh, and they had 15?
Mm-hmm.
Or 10, or...
15 for USC.
Yeah, I can't remember anybody who Ole Miss really pulled, unless they got a high-profile quarterback. I'm going to say probably 15. 15
training. 14.
Yeah.
14 okay. There.
So pretty much the same amount of bumps.
Yep. Now, number 2, Texas Longhorns. Number 2 on the list.
Yeah, so they got Billingsley from Bama. They also, I think, pulled... they got... what's his name? Fumble Nuts. Jai Hall.
Uh-huh.
So those two alone are probably going to be pretty high. I'm going to say 13.
Yep. Well, Shawnee, you named 2/5 of their commitments because they got 5.
They had 5? Who were the other 3?
I don't know. Oh, I didn't know those. I didn't know. I don't know where any of those kids go.
That's insane.
Number 1, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, we did pretty well.
They're only 0.8 points bigger than Texas.
Wow. That is absolutely crazy.
How many did old Tricky Nicky go into that portal and get?
Oh, gosh. So we got...
all that NIL money.
So we got, I know, Jermaine Burton from Georgia. We got...
the running back from Tech, right?
Oh, yeah, we did get him. We got the running back from Tech. We got the cornerback from LSU. Wide receiver from somewhere. We might even pick up that wide receiver from Pitt.
From Pitt, possibly. So you've named 4. How many do you think?
You know, if Texas, goddamn, if Texas is number 2 with 5, I'm going to say 5.
You're spot on the money. That's why they set the limit at 5.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That's crazy. We've only pulled in 5 and we're number 1.
Number 1. So, 2 things I know. We don't pay that much attention to the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to start to believe that it's not actually ruining college football.
Thank you.
As 2 people who do a college football-based podcast.
Have done for 5 years.
Could not name many of the kids that went hither, thither, and yon. And also, this list is dumb.
Oh, damn. And this kind of indicts recruiting as well. This sucks. I was super excited about pulling in Kamar Wheaton 2 years ago, and I'm just now reading that he transferred to SMU.
Yep.
He was the number 1 quarterback in the recruiting class 2 years
ago. He was your, what was it, Star Jones, Star Jackson?
Yeah.
Right, excited about Star Jackson. But like, yeah, man, like I think, and honestly, the transfer portal and recruiting not being as in the forefront as much of a lot of people's minds. Like, obviously there are people who follow this.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's not, but there's a lot of people that don't. And it proves my point that those things don't necessarily matter as much as we'd like to say they are. And honestly, I don't think that's good. I don't think that's a good thing for the game overall, because it just kind of means that college football is becoming like everything else. And it's just results oriented. What have you done for me lately?
We just care about
ring culture has sort of infected college football too. And I think that probably is our fault. It's probably our fault, because with any of the sports, we didn't really start talking about ring culture until somebody in the modern age won a lot of
them. And somebody in the modern age did not have to even come in first in their own division to compete, let alone win.
Yep. Like, we didn't talk about how many titles people had won as much as we did until Jordan won 6. We just didn't. Like, that is a new... That's a new thing, in the NBA. Super Bowl's the same way. We did not talk about the number of Super Bowls someone has won nearly as much until Brady won a boatload of them. Baseball, not as much right now, because that sport bounces around with titles a lot. The Yankees as a culture, 27 championships, but nobody talks about... I couldn't tell you off the top of my head how many World Series Derek Jeter won. Could not tell you which major league player won the most rings, because ring culture has not quite infected them the way that it has the other sports. But this basketball and football is all ring culture, and I think that has snuck into college football. When Saban wins 6, then ring culture is here.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you're right that coughing in the microphone, great. Only been doing this 5 years. Sorry about that. I think you're completely right, because in sports with fewer games in their regular season, I think are more prone to this. Baseball, I think there's a reason that, you know, like, you know, you're watching 162 games of a team. But in college football, and you bringing this up really makes me pose the question, just kind of think back to the team that you were following this time 20 years ago, if you're our age. We're in our 40s. And, like, would Derek Lassick have such a, like, tight connection to your heart if Gene Stallings was just, like, getting transfers and winning rings every...
No, like, siree, Bob. Like, I lament the fact...
Would Lemanski Hall...
We just saw it during the draft.
Yeah.
Two dudes from the team we watched every game, every minute of, got drafted. Like, who is that guy? Like, they are just nameless, faceless cogs in the giant football machine now because we've won so much. I bet you your average LSU fan can name you part and parcel the third string tight end from that Joe Burrow team.
I bet you they can. Yeah, 100%.
The same with Auburn, with our Auburn brothers and sisters. They can name you that 2010 team chapter and verse. I bet Ohio State fans struggle.
Man, that is absolutely crazy.
And they've only won a couple. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, it's a different beast.
So, you know, you were mentioning it without saying his name, and you were talking about Jordan. But I assumed you were talking about Saban. Where do you think it started? Like, do you think it's Jordan? And if so, is it the first three-peat or the second one?
I think it is Jordan. And at some point, the narrative became, how do we prove Jordan is the greatest ever? What is the flag we can plant in the ground that says Jordan is the greatest? And I think that starts to happen
when LeBron
starts to ascend. And so,
yeah, 100%.
The people that think Jordan's the greatest had to say, well, what's the thing LeBron can't do right now? He can't have six.
Yeah.
Even though Bill Russell has 11.
Yeah.
Robert Horry has 7.
Yeah. Like, roll time.
Both of those things are true. But we decided that 6 was the number. That's the magic number in basketball.
It's the
you don't have 6, you're not in the conversation.
It's the highest number.
It is the highest number. And so as it started to look like LeBron might get 6, we changed the narrative again to, yeah, Jordan got 6, but he never lost in the finals.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Like, we changed it. Look, Jordan's perfect. We kept making the ghost a little more ephemeral. Like, you cannot get to this ghost LeBron, so because that was the narrative. With Saban, we don't have to right now because he's got 7. Now, I don't know that that's the most ever. I guess it is. It has to be, right?
Because
Bryant was 6.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody in the Notre Dame pantheon
Saban,
that had more.
Saban's trying to break the record at one school, which if he won one more, he'd be.
Yes.
Wooden.
We don't talk about Wooden either.
We don't.
And that's weird.
And that kind of leads me into my next question, because if you are. So, like, you know, we didn't see the stuff about Wooden. We didn't see the stuff about Bill Walton. We didn't see the stuff about Dr. J or Kareem. I'm gonna kind of keep in basketball just for this, just to keep my mind straight. But do you think that is a reason of maybe not communications not being as ubiquitous as they are now? It's kind of a blessing and a curse, because Jordan, this is just turning into a very belated Last Dance argument. If Jordan kind of hit that sweet spot where you could really see anything live, if you wanted to, you could watch the Bulls on WGN. That certainly didn't hurt Jordan. You could watch your nightly news or Sports Center every night, which, you know, maybe there were less channels and less, you know, less access to, you know, that kind of reporting on your Kareem's, your Dr. J's, your Bill Walton's, your John Wooden's. Meanwhile, you look on the other spectrum where LeBron, certainly in maybe not in the beginning of his career, but like as you kind of get to the middle and late stages of career, he's still playing ball. You see that just oversaturation of social media and 24-hour news networks and stuff like that. where, like, you know, we really didn't see an explosion of cable news until after Jordan had left the game.
Yeah, I think so. I think Jordan, he has to become the myth because the so NBA kind of went through players will always define an era,
sure,
for the NBA more than any other sport. I just think that's, it's the superstar league. Every other league is trying to have the brand be the big ticket,
yeah,
not the NBA.
Yeah, sure.
The NBA said a long time ago, no siree, Bob, it's a star league. We're going to make it a star league.
Yeah.
Kareem was sort of the first test case for that. Like, Kareem was the league.
And
then came...
And honestly, like, not by... Like, by design, like, not like you said, I'm definitely agreeing with that, because I don't think the fans helped, because, you know, you can argue and say, well, you know, football, you know, you have 12 men on the field.
Yeah, for, you know, helmets. There's all sorts of reasons why.
Sorry, 22 men on the field. But then, you know, baseball, you really do have that one player at a time. You're not rooting for Jason Worth to have a cool catch in left field.
No,
You're rooting for him to. Jason Worth is the person I pick to knock one out of the park.
You don't want Sean Green.
Oh, but
yeah,
my
like
God.
That. The laundry is first in every other sport.
Yeah.
Now the NFL. Now somebody might be hearing and say, "Well, there are superstars in the NFL." There absolutely are, but the NFL has decided that a position is number one. The NFL has decided that quarterback,
yeah,
is the number one. The NBA has always been star, star, star.
Yeah.
The difference...
You don't have to be a point guard.
You don't have to. The reason that we had to shift a narrative for Jordan is sort of twofold. Larry and Magic had each other. The league could position itself around Larry and Magic.
Yeah, and Michael came in at such a weird time, because you still had Magic and Larry weren't done by the time
Jordan beat Magic for his first title.
Yeah.
But it was an aging Magic.
Yeah.
It was the aging Lakers. It was all those things.
Still made to the finals.
Bird got hurt. Bird's back gave out on him, so he couldn't quite be there the way that Magic was.
Yeah, Shaq
and
hadn't
so
come in.
Shaq hadn't got there yet. And Jordan didn't have a single rival. Jordan had rivals that were not marketable.
Full teams.
Jordan's
he had
biggest
the Detroit
hurdle
Pistons.
Were the mean ass Detroit Pistons, not a marketable one of them.
Yeah.
Even Isaiah Thomas, who was a flashy, great point guard,
yeah,
he wasn't Jordan. And at the end of the day, he played for them mean ass Pistons. The Knicks, not a marketable one of them. They're mean and they played ugly basketball.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, if Patrick Ewing or John Starks are your biggest foils, but like it, you know, God, this is insane. I mean, you know, you even look at those, because Rodman was on those Pistons teams, right?
Yeah, absolutely was.
And even he,
a non-crazy Rodman.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it had before the Madonna and the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies and the hair and the wedding dress, but still, like. And even then, Rodman was on the team by the time he really went nuts.
Uh-huh.
Quote-unquote nuts.
Yeah, he went crazy when he was a Bull.
Wow, that is insane. Yeah,
but
when Patrick Ewing is your closest foil, then...
So, if Jordan never gets past the Pistons, then that changes everything.
Sure.
If Jordan never gets past the Knicks, that changes everything. He had to win those titles. And so, when he won those titles, they had something they could sink their teeth into.
Yeah.
So, six became the number. Well, then now, the people who are, and as you said, media was starting to change.
Yeah.
So by the time Jordan has won his six, we are entrenched into the media age that we are now. Social media is not there yet, but it's coming. But 24-hour news cycle, ESPN, all the stuff. So now, who's telling us the story of LeBron versus Jordan? It's people that
yeah,
grew up,
yeah, it's us,
hearing the story that says Jordan is the best.
Yeah.
So therefore,
Jordan's the best.
You have to keep moving the goalpost.
Yeah.
So that LeBron, and look, I'm in the Jordan's the best camp. Like, I believe that story.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell you that I have the statistics or anything to back it up, because ultimately the narrative got me. Because in my heart of hearts, I just believe if and take whatever best team the Bulls had, whatever best team LeBron was on, even the big three in Miami, I can't envision a way that Jordan lets him beat him. There's no statistics to back that up. None whatsoever. Other than Mike never lost in the finals. Mike never went to game seven. But that's all narrative stuff. So that is the story. That's the Jordan story, and nobody can ever come close to it.
Do you think that there's any validity to the argument of, well, you know, we're talking one-on-one here, and this is a team sport, whether you like it or not. So, you know, do you put Jordan and LeBron on, like, equal, like, computer-generated teammates? Or do you view this competition in through the lens of, like, well, Jordan had Pippen and Steve Kerr, B.J. Armstrong, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, etc.?
What you're saying is all logic. What I'm telling you is I can't fantasize.
That feeling you get.
It is.
So it doesn't matter, though.
Nobody can beat him.
Yeah, okay.
He can't be beaten. Even though he was beaten many times.
Plenty of times.
Before he won the first ring.
So
he's beaten many times before that.
Yeah. God.
If he stayed, I don't know that Olajuwon's Rockets don't beat him. I love those teams.
Yeah, yeah.
But the mythos is so strong because I was at the right age to believe it. And that's why the social media, the kids come out and say, look at LeBron. He's stronger. He's faster. He's larger. He's da-da-da-da. They're right. All the metrics. LeBron is going to pass Kareem's record next year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going to be the best scorer in the history of the league.
But the thing
and
is,
I wouldn't even put him at number two.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's that feeling. If you look at logic, you probably like I'm looking at it through the communications lens and just access to media. Like, you know, the same amount of people are singing LeBron's praises that. Or the same percentage of people are singing LeBron's praises that they that were singing Michael's during his time.
I don't know if the numbers would bear that out.
However, I would say that because people are basically bombarded with shit through their brains and ears and eyeballs 24/7, they move on to other things. In the mid-90s, you know, you have this thing where, like, hearing about Michael Jordan, if you're not even, like, interested in sports, it's going to be, like, 3% of your day in 1995.
Yeah.
Or 91, 92.
Yeah.
And, it's not going to be LeBron. Hell, for about 6 months, you probably heard more about Kobe than LeBron.
Absolutely you did, because Kobe looked the most like Mike.
Yeah.
Like, Kobe got to 5.
Kobe don't like that.
Kobe shoot 95. Like, Kobe was
Kobe Bryant
Kobe was French with
legitimately
Mike.
Insane. Does Kobe Bryant deserve to be injected into that conversation? Or is he just like, top tier is Jordan and LeBron and no one else? Or, you know, maybe a couple from the 70s. Or...
Kobe's hard, man.
It's so
Kobe's tough. Kobe's a hard because
we got his entire body of work.
We got the whole body of work, and he got to 5.
Yeah,
one. That's one.
Isn't
greater
that
than LeBron.
Insane? Isn't that insane?
But a lot of them were with Shaq, which is a problem.
Yeah,
for Kobe. And again, Kobe has the mythos. They both have a mythos that LeBron doesn't have, and I think it's primarily because LeBron was much more Magic than he was Michael.
Yeah.
Kobe was pure Michael. LeBron is more get these guys. LeBron dragged bums to the finals, and he still tried to get them involved. Like, I can't knock his game.
Yeah.
I respect his game more because he was better at getting his teammates involved. But LeBron, the dude, kind of gets on my nerves. But LeBron, the player, is insane. But for some reason, because of the narrative, because of the story that I was told and the story more appropriately that I chose to believe,
yeah.
I know he's a great. I know he's one of the greatest of all time. Yeah. Like, there's no. Yeah, that's not even an argument. Yeah. But for me, if I'm picking my, if I'm giving you my fantasy five, it ain't LeBron. And a lot of it is because I wasn't 14 years old when I watched him play.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, for me, LeBron is...
He's not elbowing Detlef Schrempf out.
Yeah.
That ain't happening.
He had the best hologram card. Also, more Magic than Mike is definitely the tagline for Magic Mike 3. also... I'm really just the Tony Reale thing person going like hitting the
you hit the transition the, you hit the mute button, you hit the volume up button,
the dockets. There is a Lil Wayne a lyric where he mentions Nomar Garciaparra, and I did not understand it until last week when I was listening to Swag Surfing off of the released. Unreleased?
It was when mixtapes were officially released. It was a weird time. It was a weird time. The No Ceilings mixtape.
I'm a New Orleans neighbor. Mm-hmm. I don't take no shit. Take the brain off the whip. Now that don't make no sense. Stunt hard on these bitches. I ain't promised tomorrow. Now they kicking it with me like Nomar Garciaparra. Like Nomar
Garciaparra.
Did not realize that he was...
He was married to me.
Yes! That's why! Because women are kicking it with him. Yes. Lil Wayne is just insanely clever.
Lil Wayne is currently eating his words because Luka Doncic just destroyed the Phoenix Suns last night. And Lil Wayne famously tweeted, Luka a hoe.
This is now a basketball podcast. You know, I think we solved a lot of things this week. Who's better? Magic Mike or LeBron?
Or Michael Magic.
Or Michael Magic. Oh, God, there's somebody out there named Michael Magic, and he either really enjoys...
Well, let me ask you this as you're winding this down. Please. Let me ask you this. All right. Now, The Last Dance is a problem in all of
this. Wouldn't know. Never saw it.
Well, that's just ridiculous. I don't know what else you were. But like,
huge Chicago Bulls fan.
The Last Dance came out at the perfect time.
Perfect time. Mid-pandemic.
You can't beat that. So, what impact do you think the LeBron one will have?
You know, that's a good question, because every time I think of, like, when people compare LeBron to Mike to Michael Jordan, I always wonder if he really, like, always feels like second fiddle, because, like, he wasn't in, like, you know, to the moon. He was in Space Jam 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, LeBron said as much, you know, in an interview. He said, I'm chasing a ghost.
Yeah, and that's all it is. And the thing is, LeBron is a, like, you know, he really is a media company himself, because
yeah.
In the same way, I mean, he's a better actor than Michael than Jordan is. You can watch Trainwreck. He's actually probably the best thing about that movie.
Yeah, he is absolutely the best thing in that movie.
And that's a movie with Bill Hader in it. I think you're right.
Outside of everything else, the thing he'll never live down is the decision.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm taking my talents to Miami.
He never lives that down.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for going to Miami. I don't blame him.
No, I don't
either. I do not blame him for going, but at the time I was like, nah, dude. You can't do it. I can't allow you to do it. And I damn sure can't allow you to do it the way that you did.
I think he probably...
Raised a bunch of money for a bunch of kids with that broadcast.
Sure.
Built a school later in his life. Like,
yeah.
Not a bad thing to say about him as a human being or a basketball player, but something about him annoys the shit out of me. And I don't like that about myself.
Yeah.
But I think all of it comes back to Mike's the guy... So I've got to throw stones.
Yep.
Because Jordan in The Last Dance is an asshole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jordan wore those awful pleated high-waisted pants.
Why was he
had
so
a Hitler
bad
mustache?
What
I don't know.
Is it like I think we've talked about this on Cold Dog Soup, but is he just a nerd?
No, I think he's just a I think somebody was just dressing him.
You recounted something from him
about like some crappy group he was listening to at that time.
Oh, yeah. I can't. Oh, man. It's in The Last Dance. And it's just like the most uncool R&B singer from the time. And Mike was so excited that he got the new Kenny Lattimore. That's the new Kenny Lattimore. Like, no, Mike. No. I know you're a man of a certain age, but come on. Don't be bragging that you got the new Kenny Lattimore. Like, all of those things. All of those things. And I'm a person that hated the Bulls in the second three-peat. I had moved on. When Mike left, I left.
I definitely
like, okay, have. We're done, Mike. You don't get to come back and get me back. Like, I've moved on. Sean Kemp exists. I love him. Hakeem Olajuwon exists. I love him. But I still pitch my tent in his camp because he was the one I saw. I saw all LeBron's career, too. But I never saw him lose in the finals. And I think that's the big ticket item. Like, if he gets there, you ain't going to beat him. Once he won his first one, he never lost another one.
Here are some other hip-hop CDs in 1996, which is the earliest release from Kenny Lattimore. So I'm assuming it's 96.
Well, it was on the Dream Team bus, wasn't it? Ain't that? Go ahead.
Didn't watch it.
That's right. You didn't watch it. That's right. It's not a bit.
Here are some other hip-hop CDs that Jordan could have bragged about getting. Was it an early release? Or he just bought it at Kmart?
No. Kenny sent it to Mike.
Shook a T, I imagine his first one. Eazy-E, Straight Off the Streets of Motherfucking Compton. Tupac, All Eyes on Me. Fugees, The Score. Busta Rhymes, The Coming, DJ Yella, Beastie Boys, Ghetto Boys, MC Ren, Master P.
And Mike is out here talking about Kenny Lattimore.
I am at April 9th in the releases of that year.
Come on, Mike. Come on,
Ghostface
Mike.
Killa had a release.
However,
LL Cool J had a greatest hits.
In fairness, we all saw LeBron dancing to the halftime show, so that dude's not cool either.
What was the episode? What was the game where his dick just came out of shorts? He was like adjusting himself during a game, and it's just...
Uh-huh. Well, you know. Athletic shorts are often given to reveal things they're not opposed to.
Just ask once and future Alabama head football coach Rich Rodriguez. We brought it back to football, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Throw the Flag, solving problems like who's better, Jordan or LeBron, for almost 5 years now. More than 5 years now. Listen to us on Throw the Flag, wherever you're already listening to us. Check out our columns at 256today.com. And, you know, just stay tuned because we got some things coming up. Love you.